You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to the 800th episode of Ask Drone You.
You guys rock.
Wow. Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
800 episodes.
I'm not going to lie, it's hard to believe that we're
800. Yeah, it actually, it really is. But seriously, guys, we couldn't really do it. Actually, let me rephrase that. We could not do it without you. So really, as people say congrats and whatnot to us, we want to say thank you to you because we wouldn't be here for 800 episodes. It's actually probably more than that because we've had quite a few bonuses.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's probably like 820 or so. But either way, it's the official 800th episode.
Yep.
And by the end of this show, I won't be able to say 800. So anyway. But guys, thank you very much. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you to everyone who's been a DroneU member, who's taken our classes, who's who's helped us build relationships, and just really thank you to everyone who's been out there.
Yeah,
really.
Thank you to everybody who's been a sponsor of the podcast too, and we've got some new ones that are going to be on board here soon.
Yeah, we've been kind of like waning down, and everyone's like, well, we want to advertise, and a lot of people don't understand that we're actually really picky about who we let advertise. So
we really are, and I think part of that comes from learning a lesson or two early on, mm-hmm. which is fine.
Yep. That's qualification, kind of how it happens. Qualification number one, must be bald.
Well, that's right. And so for all of you that had your hopes up, I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you got hair, ain't happening. So sorry, Vic.
As long as there's a bald guy in your office or at your company.
There must be proof and you cannot use a copyright-free image.
That's right.
We can search those.
We can.
Anyway.
Indeed.
Wow. 800.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's crazy. Very, very exciting. And thank you guys.
Yeah, actually thank you to all the sponsors of the show. Colorado Drone Chargers, Energen, Multicopter Warehouse a long time ago, Pix4D a long time ago. Who else was?
GPC,
obviously. GPC cases, yeah. Big thanks to them.
I think GoPro back in the day.
Oh, wow. I forgot about GoPro. Wow, they fell off hard. So I probably shouldn't say that. Anyway, thanks.
Well, nonetheless, they're still out there doing some stuff.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah.
Who else?
Other than some friends in this industry, I mean, there's a lot of friends whose companies I could rattle off.
The music and video service. What was it?
Oh. Now they have a new name. They were at the show, by the way. Storyblocks or Audio Blocks.
Yep. That's right. They rebranded themselves. But anyways, they were with us for a long time. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And big special thanks to our friends too, like friends at the DJI Manhattan store.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to our friends Peter. Thank you very much. Shout out to John McBride. Always good seeing him.
Over at Rocky Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Kenji and Brendan Schulman. And remember, John Rupert used to come on the show all the time.
He did, yeah.
He's gone full hermit mode, I don't know. But
I'm sure he's up to something good, trying to help the industry out.
I think he's by far the smartest drone lawyer in the country. Like, he's so far ahead of everybody.
He's very devoted, and he does a lot of good stuff for the industry and just trying to make sure people are getting the right information, so that's cool.
Yeah, actually, he gave a panel at AUVSI I think he should have been sitting on. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was like the speaker, and you could just tell oftentimes he just wanted to like erupt and be like, no!
That's funny.
Anyway, but yeah, no, special thanks to everyone who's really helped us out in this industry because it's been a lot of people. Ted Wilson.
Yeah, and Miss Ted,
FAA certified in flight instructor. Special thanks to you. But anyway, let's get on to today's question. So, the balloons are out, and the sky is beautiful. It's blue. It's a good day to go fly and celebrate 800. But anyway, today's question we're gonna go off the rocker here a little bit. Today's question was emailed in from Norway, SGR at. something.no. Is that Norway?
I think it is Norway. And by the way, as you know, we typically don't read from emails, but this gentleman, he asked very politely and he has
a .no address. So
he does have a .no.
That's pretty cool.
And I think English is his second language. And so he was just asking, would you please just do it from an email? And so here we go.
Sorry, I don't have a Norwegian accent.
I wouldn't even know.
Isn't that weird? Couldn't help myself. All right.
And by the way, when we do accents, we're not making fun of anybody.
Thank you.
Please
Thank
don't
you.
Suggest that. It's ridiculous. We're just having a good time. Yeah. And I think and most of the people that actually speak in those accents understand that.
And probably laugh at us. They're probably making fun of us.
I mean, we're the idiots. When we do
if
it,
anyone gets offended at that, you should not get angry.
Goodness gracious. I can't believe people have said that to us. I don't know why I'm getting all worked up about that, but it's like,
you know
come
what?
On.
They could have been running down the trail one day in their morning run, trying to feel better about life, and then they just tripped and a giant stick went right up their ass.
Well, I suppose
and,
that could happen.
And then now they hate it when people do accents because they can't help do an accent either every time they run because now they're like, ah! You know, so
that's in fact, somebody emailed and said, I said, you need to go record the question, right? And that's the way that it's going to get on the podcast. And he said, okay, but I don't do accents. And I said, everybody does accents.
Yes.
You just got to find one, pick one.
Do you have a child? Because if you haven't done an accent to your child, then you're a bold-faced liar.
That's right.
That little baby talk you did, yeah. That's an accent too, okay?
Exactly.
All right?
Yeah, that's right.
Clarify this, Shiza.
All right.
Okay. I think English is definitely not this guy's first language, and that is okay. For a 3D model, is it sufficient to only take images with inclination? This is weird. I.e. double grid, free flight, and orbit. Or is it wise to also include grid with vertical images? Can I process all images together in Pix4D, or am I wiser to process each mission on its own and then merge them together? From overhanging structures and bridges, I would like to get some information from the underside of the structure. Do you have any tips regarding this, or can I take images inclined upwards in order to get information in these areas, even though the sky will be included on most of the pictures? Look forward to hearing from you. Simone Bijones.
Simon.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening and sending in your question. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Great to hear from you.
I do appreciate it. I think this is actually a really good question because for most mapping missions, if you're taking the double grid mission and then you just do, let's say, two orbits, which for any building or model that you're trying to acquire facade detail, you've got to do a minimum of two large scale orbits. That means around the entire property or entire thing that you're trying to map. Now, oftentimes in complex buildings, you need a lot more orbits than that. So I think the best example actually is, and I'm giving you a shout out here, is Bill English from the NTSB, his example at Airworks where he was mapping one of the old, and if I get this wrong, he's going to hate me. I want to say it was one of the old B-52 hangars in like Ohio or Illinois, somewhere in the somewhere in that region up there.
It's in the U.S.
It's an important region. And he's mapping this old, it looks like a warehouse, and he did, you know, his double grid, and then he did his two orbits and, you know, changed his tilt to ensure that there was no sky in the pictures, which is something we talk about in the classes. You can throw all of those images together in one process. It's totally okay. Hmm. It's not a big deal. It's going to process just fine. But as soon as you have to kind of introduce more than two orbits, you're really going to get in a sticky area because as you introduce those images that are oblique, you do introduce more error into your sigma squared value, which is really going to hurt your accuracy at times. If you're really going for kind of survey grade accuracy, you've done your GCPs, wait till you see our new landing pads. I cannot wait to show you guys our new landing pads. They are going to solve many problems for many people. Anyway, if you've done your GCPs with drone new landing pads and you got your GPS markers on your GCPs, you're actually probably going to want to fly as low as possible, like sub 100 feet in areas that you can, by the way. And with those markers, do just a regular single hatch mission, not a cross hatching, just a grid, just one. Process that separately. Do a double grid, process that separately. Then process all of your orbits on a separate process and then merge all of those together utilizing manual tie points. That's how you can get the very best accuracy. Now, if you're making models just to make models and accuracy isn't, you know, one of your big things, you're really just trying to get an image of what you're shooting, our mapping instructor actually went out to go test just how much error can be introduced into models. And he went and flew around one of those big billboards you see on the highway. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of, he just did free flight, just shot around the whole thing. No, you know, really science to it at all. He just wanted to see, if I threw all these images at Pixford, is it still going to give me something? It still gave him a good looking model.
Hmm.
But it is definitely not something you can take measurements off of.
Right. So it just depends on your end use.
It really, really does depend. Yeah. And in fact, I want to do a whole nother show on this, how to properly take measurements out of Pixford. I see so many people just drawing polylines. It's like, no.
But in that case, it kind of depends on what accuracy they're looking for, right?
True.
So that might work if the accuracy, it doesn't need to be real tight.
True. Now that's, again, if you're going for like quote unquote survey grade. So when I was explaining survey grade, they were saying sub 4 to 6 centimeters. That is a cakewalk on photogrammetry if you know what you're doing, which it does take a system that needs to be followed every single time. Your average person who has a Phantom 4 Pro doing photogrammetry will not be able to get survey grade accuracy, but it is possible in working with a set system, yes.
That said, it's more about that person and their system, not the Phantom 4 Pro, right?
Exactly.
So you can do it with the Phantom 4 Pro.
Phantom 4 Pro is hands down the very best mapping drone. And in fact, since this is kind of a short episode, I can take a second to kind of talk about that. So we've had the Unique H520 since September of last year. When we got it, they said it would work with Pix4D. It had all these things. It was a workhorse. It was made for commercial stuff. And it can fly more days out of the year than a Phantom. It totally can.
Because of the wind, you mean?
Because of the wind. It's mm-hmm. got 6 motors. It's got all that. It is more flexible than a Phantom, as there are 3 different payloads. So if you do need a thermal option, actually the most affordable thermal option is available on the Unique. But after now doing super deep dive, like, I mean, this has taken me like a month to really do it well, not because I have had a lack of time, but because I've had so much going on. And we mapped the exact same area with the Phantom and the Unique. It was about 125 images, double grid, and 2 orbits from both. The Unique map showcased 9.3 million points on the map itself. The Phantom map showcased 15.5 or 15.6 million points. So for people who are in construction, the Unique is probably a good option because they don't want that many points because mm-hmm. it bogs down their system. But there was a lot of detail missing. So on top of that, I also noticed when I flew these missions at the exact same height, which was 90 feet AGL, my ground sampling distance on the Phantom was 0.47 centimeters versus 0.77 centimeters on the Unique Typhoon H520. So I was like, well, wait a minute. Why would they have a different ground sampling distance if they're flying at the same height? Well, the focal length, so the actual length from the sensor to the lens, is longer on a Unique than a Phantom 4 Pro. That causes significant problems. In addition to that, what causes even more problems is the fact that a Phantom 4 Pro uses a global or quote-unquote mechanical shutter versus a linear rolling shutter on the Unique H520. Why is that important? Whenever we process images from the Unique H520, we actually have to go into Pix4D and change one of the settings to go from mechanical shutter to linear rolling shutter. So I did that, reprocessed the Unique map again. I got 11 million points instead of the first 9.3 million points. So did get more points. Although my ground sampling distance went from 0.77 centimeters to 0.73 centimeters.
So it got a little better.
A little bit better, but to have that large of a gap between the two drones is a huge red flag. It's like, okay, there's something very wrong.
Yeah, that's a big gap.
But that also tells me that if I'm flying a Unique H520 at 400 feet versus a Phantom 4 Pro at 400 feet, I'm going to get exponentially more detail with a Phantom 4 Pro than I would with a Unique H520. So when asking what really is the best drone for mapping, hands down, no questions asked, no matter what, Phantom 4 Pro, even over a Matrice, even over an X7. The X7, as much money as we spend on that damn camera, does not have a global shutter.
Hmm. Interesting. So it all comes down to the camera.
Yep.
Right? Because if the Phantom 4 Pro camera was on the Unique, you'd like that.
Well, the thing too, though, is that all these sensors that come out of the factory are not calibrated. Mm. So you can even get varying results from one Phantom to another.
Right.
So.
There's a lot to think about in this stuff.
Yeah, but there, I mean, that Pix4D podcast that we did was probably one of the best podcasts ever because it really showcased people the nuances of mapping and how the smallest things can have the largest impact. And if you haven't checked out that show, you've got to check that show out.
Let me tell everybody what show that is. By the way, did you, and you may have discussed this and I just missed it, but this question about the vertical images.
So there's, in Ground Station Pro, they have what's called vertical image capture, and it's kind of like SightScan's perimeter scan, except it does a better job because perimeter scan has such a large offset with the camera, it doesn't really do a good job of getting the mapping data that you need.
Got it.
So that being said, can you merge the vertical image capture with all the other ones? No, don't do that. I would not recommend that. Let it process on its own process. So now the next thing he said is, for overhanging structures and bridges, could you, so this is where maybe the M210 would come in handy because you can put the top mount gimbal, but you're still just going to want to use an X4S. Don't try the X5. Don't try the X7. And if one more of our members tries to argue with me, I'm just going to like block it and be like, here's the document that says in Pix4D that it's a rolling shutter, why it doesn't work. We've been to countless classes where people have been like, I spent so much money on that camera. I know it's going to work. It's like, look, you can try to tell yourself that everything is fine, honey boo boo, but it ain't fine and it ain't going to work. Okay.
So right. So maybe sell it or use it for something else and go back to the...
And don't try to trick yourself because you'll, at the end of the day, the only person you're hurting is yourself.
Potentially a client.
Yeah. So what's the episode where Pix4D comes on the show?
That is 795. So within the last few days.
795. Check out that show, guys. He asked about taking images upward. I would process all those separately and add them into the map later. It is something, again, that you can do with manual tie points. On your manual tie points, we could do a whole other show on this. Do not put your manual tie points on shadowed areas or areas that are going to change with light capture. Meaning if I shot my double grid at 1230 and I'm doing my orbits at 130, don't put your manual tie points on a place where there's shade because the shade's going to change. It's something I see people doing all the time. They're like, oh, well, I can distinctly see the line, but the line moves.
So that's just, I mean, you can still get a model out of it, but it's not going to be a good one.
It's going to look, yeah. It's going to look like you just built a house on that volcano lava.
Have you seen the videos about that volcano, by the way? Like the lava moving?
I think it's cool.
It is. So it's trippy.
It is really cool.
It's like a movie. Anyways.
And yeah, I'm kind of nervous that I'm going to be flying out there in a week.
Yeah, seriously. You'll be all right.
That's going to be our show for today, guys. If you want to say thank you for 800 episodes, leave us a review. Or if you want to leave me a gift for my honeymoon, honeyfun.com. My last name is A-I-T-K-E-N.
So. Are you kidding?
Joking.
Okay. I don't know.
Whatever.
Well, no, but I'm like honeyfun.com. I would think there would actually be a site. If there's not, maybe there should be.
Oh, this is a very real thing.
Oh, it is.
And since you're a part of the wedding, you could leave me a present there, too.
No comments.
Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for us today. I am just playing games with you.
All I got to say is, I'm not going to say it.
Wow. All he's got to say is nothing.
That's right.
On that bombshell, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making this show possible.
And please share the show. That means a lot to us as well.
That's going to do it for us today, guys. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U number 800. Woohoo!
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.